You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's really nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you too.
So firstly, the dust is settling after the Australian election. What's been going on?
Yeah, so Scott Morrison now has a majority government. I think the last time I spoke to you guys, it was still a bit up in the air, but he now has a majority government. And so he's been able to announce his cabinet. And we've seen, interestingly, a record number of women in the cabinet for Liberals. So there is 7 women, which sounds like a bit of a joke, but that's the record, 7 women in Australia's history in cabinet for the Liberals. Also, there will be 2 new female ministers added as well.
Compared to the number of men, is that 7 particularly shocking, or is it, I don't know, how big's the cabinet?
I mean, it's a pretty big number considering there's 20 ministers in the cabinet for Australia, so
That's not too bad.
It's not bad, is it? I mean, it's almost 50%, so it is really interesting for the Liberals, considering during the entire election, Labor had really run hard on their lack of female representation. Labor, for example, do have a 50 quota that they need to meet by 2020, I believe, where Liberals didn't really have anything like that in place, and now we're seeing 7 women in the cabinet, so that's pretty good, I suppose. But also something that's really quite significant as well from the cabinet is that Ken White has become the first Aboriginal person to hold the Indigenous Affairs portfolio. He was recently the Aboriginal Health Minister. So this is a really significant step as well. Again, I hate to be cynical, but these kind of really positive changes are all very surprising to me for the Liberals. But, I mean, it's nice to see that they're listening, I suppose.
And has there been a good reaction to these sorts of changes? Because they are, I mean, they're surprising to me, and not to be sort of cynical as well about Australia, but, you know, it does seem quite interesting that these things are just happening now in 2019.
Yeah, I think there's been a somewhat of a positive reaction. I was trying to do a bit of research on it, and, you know, there's a little bit of a lack of maybe media representation about it, but, yeah, there does seem to be a good reaction. I was speaking to one of the coordinators at the Young Women Association Australia, and she was talking to us about the, you know, these record numbers, and she did seem to have a lot of hope. So yeah, we'll see where it takes us, but again, very shocking. But so was their win. It's just been a week of shocks, a couple of weeks of shocks for Australia.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's just the political climate pretty much everywhere in the world, isn't it? You can't really expect anything to go the expected way anymore.
Yeah. Well, you guys are pretty lucky, I'd say.
Yeah, not doing too badly. And also, you said that the new Labor leader wants more women. Is that just in terms of the quota, or is it in terms of the current cabinet? Are they critical of the current government's makeup?
Yeah. Interesting. So we've got a new Labor leader. His name is Anthony Albosson. I think I say that wrong every time. Anyway, he's officially the new Labor leader. So last time I was talking to you guys, it was all up in the air. But he's our guy now. And yeah, he wants to see more women in the party. And that could be because of the quota, or it could be because he wants equality. Not entirely sure, but unfortunately, so Christine Kennelly is going for a front bench position. I think it's deputy leader, actually. But this may be blocked, which would be really unfortunate, because then that would mean that there wouldn't be as many women as there is now. So Christina Kennelly is a member for New South Wales. Essentially, those members are blocking her elevation into going onto the front bench. This will all kind of come to head today when the parties put forward the names of MPs that will make up their new leader's new front bench. and it will sort of go from there. But it is a bit of a blow to Labor.
The next thing we're going to talk about seems particularly topical, considering we're talking about the representation of women in politics. Courtney Heron, the 20th woman to be killed by a man in Australia.
Over the weekend, Courtney Heron did become the 20th woman to be killed by a man. This is according to the Counting Dead Women project. Her body was found killed in a park in Melbourne. It's pretty devastating, obviously. This is a real crisis. I'll happily call it that. I don't think that many people are, but this is a crisis in this country. You would be familiar with other women dying on their way home. It just doesn't seem to be uncommon anymore, which is terrifying.
Has there been a lot of outrage about this?
Yeah, but there's also just... So the police, after her body was found, did respond differently for the first time that we've seen. So they emphasised that the key point is that this is about men's behaviour. It's not about women's behaviour, which was obviously really a welcomed response and a very dramatic shift from the usual blame game of women that we see happen in the media and by the police in this country after horrific incidences like this happen. There's also just the media, when we found out who the killer was, who I won't be naming, it's kind of awful, the headlines. And so although the police kind of deemed it not women's behaviour, we still see the media blaming the woman, more discreetly this time, though. However, they're really highlighting incidents, highlighting things in her life, and all the bad things in her life, right? I'm not going to get into it, but and then with the killer, they're really, saying, oh, he was like a happy hippie and this and that. And it's just really strange and really exhausting. But their media were also really happy to congratulate police for recognising that the victims are not responsible, right, for being killed. So, it's sort of this struggle all the time in Australia where something like this will happen and no one's really concentrating or focusing on the facts and focusing on the fact that this is a crisis and this isn't something that happens rarely. This is happening so often now and, it's expected to be. This is just one of the 50 to 70 deaths due to perhaps happen in this country over the next year. And no one's really concentrating on what's really important and it's all kind of strange and awful and really hard to deal with, really hard to process.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.